my kids to the Christmas play at Evangel Church last Sunday. At the end of their Christmas play, they had the scene of the crucifixion. And Adore, my six-year-old twin, leaned over to me and said, "What's that man's name hanging on the cross next to Jesus?" Said, "I don't know his name." Says, "What's the guy's name on the other side?" I said, "I don't know his name either." He said, "Man, they died too young. Never talk about them." So, said, "The one in the middle is the only one that matters." So, amen. We're thankful for the man in the middle on the day. He's the only one that matters. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to marry to him and was expecting a child. You may be seated. I'm going to preach for a little while today. Ambassadors, you can let worshipers gain entrance into the sanctuary. I want to preach for a little while today using as a subject, I need a tax break. I need a tax break. Would you look at the person beside you and tell them, "This is the sermon I need. This is, amen, I need a tax break." Ladies and gentlemen, this week has been a tumultuous one on Capitol Hill, whereby politicians found themselves almost at an impasse, polluting all of the airspace inside of the Beltway. The Republicans Friday afternoon found themselves having to surrender to the vision of the commander-in-chief. It was not what they wanted, but they realized they could not win against the one they opposed. At issue was the hotly debated payroll tax. And the payroll tax, ladies and gentlemen, operates in two different spheres. The first is a tax that employers are required to withhold from employees' wages. The second kind is a tax that is paid from the employer's funds that is directly related to employing a worker. I'm here on this Christmas morning to alert and to apprise those of you who have ears to hear. The Spirit of the Lord will announce to the church that your heavenly supervisor is not going to hold anything back. Everything that you have worked for is getting ready to be released to you. And some of you are not in a place of celebration because you have not been working towards anything. But there's a great number within this sacred space called sanctuary who have tirelessly been giving your effort, your energy, and your intellectual property over to making a dream come to pass. And every time it looks like you're making headway, there seems to be something that is draining you, something that is handicapping you, something that is blocking you. But God told me to tell you, the bill has just passed. And I know that this doesn't mean anything to some of you, but I want to remind you, because you've been faithful over a few things, God is getting ready to make you ruler over many. Ladies and gentlemen, the passage of the bill ensures that the average employee will avoid paying $80 more a month in Social Security. of the increase was supposed to begin on January 1st. But because of the passage of the bill on Friday afternoon, please hear me clearly, the rate of 2011 will remain the same rate in 2012. Let me interpret that for you spiritually and exegetically. That means, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't hear anything else I say, the bill ensures, hear me, your level of stress in 2012 will not be greater than the price you paid in 2011. Now, for some of you, this has not been a stressful year. But if you know, here it is, that your stress level has capped out. It can't get any more arduous than what it is right now. And I know there's some of you who haven't felt like you were getting ready to explode, you were getting ready to lose it all, but the enemy has already aimed and released his greatest shot. If it did not take you out in 2011, it will not have the strength to destabilize you in 2012. And I know for some of you, this has not been a hard year, but for those of you who have had to deal with compound pain, you had to deal with stress on top of worry, on top of anxiety, on top of depression, on top of burnout, and somehow or another you were able to keep yourself together, can I tell you now, you're gifted. You are gifted because some weaker people couldn't handle your level of stress. Some people who didn't have your moral fiber would have broken down and would have backslid. But you got an incredible gift to be able to walk in this church after the kind of year you had without tears coming down your face, and you're able to look the enemy in the eye and say, if God be for me, who in the world can be against me? You got a gift. Hallelujah. Be seated right where you are. And I know some of you have, in fact, compartmentalized being gifted in having the ability to sing or having to speak in public or able to draw or to paint or able to manage. But God says, this year I have released and exposed in you the gift of handling stress. God, I don't know whether you can hear me, but you ought to know that you got a gift to manage stress level. Because if you had to deal with everything that was on your plate, hear me, you handled all of it, ate it, took the piece of the bitter pill. You were able to swallow humble pie. You were able to keep your head up when folk were trying to be belligerent and negative against you. You handled that stress, baby. If in fact it was not God operating in your life this year, you would have cussed some people out. You would have slashed somebody's tires. You would have gave them a piece of your mind. You would have entertained suicide. But with that stress kept getting on you, you kept lifting up your hand saying, God, I trust you in the middle of this season. You got a gift to handle the level of stress that you've had to manage and navigate over in this season. Be seated right where you are. I'm talking about having to manage, here it is, a meager income with growing debt. I'm talking about handling children who are out of control, but you were able to keep your mind intact. Handling friends who you were there for them, but now that you're struggling, they can't seem to have the time for you. I'm talking to those of you that got a bad and a negative report from the doctor, but somehow or another your faith kept telling you, my God is a healer. Even with legal issues that were outstanding, you didn't know how you were going to be able to make it, but somehow his grace, somehow his mercy was able to see you through. Would you elbow your neighbor, tell him, I may not look like it, but you need to know you're sitting beside somebody gifted. And the fact that I am, in fact, in the house of the Lord, when 7 years ago I wouldn't have been in church, but God had to do something on the inside so I can manage this level of stress. Somebody shout out loud, I'm gifted. Ladies and gentlemen, the Republicans wanted to cut benefits for unemployment from 99 weeks
to 59 weeks. But I am here, ladies and gentlemen, to alert you of the fact that it did not work. Because God, for those of you who can hear my voice, who are presently in between employment, God told me to tell you he is going to cover you not till you get a job. He said, I'm going to cover you until you finally work in your purpose. And I got some people in the room who I know you ain't ready to shout about it on Christmas, who this year you've been without a job longer than you would have imagined. But the reason why you're shouting is because you can testify, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen them begging for bread. There's no way in the world you thought you'd be able to celebrate on a fixed income. But look at what God did for you. He looked beyond all of your faults and he met you at your needs. This was a Christmas where you should have been sad under the bed and you should have been thinking, how am I going to get out of it? But when your eyes popped open this morning, you were able to say, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I know this ain't for everybody, but if you ever went through a season this year where you were without a job, here it is. But while you were without a job, you weren't without your joy. That even when you didn't have your employment, you still had your power. And you ought to thank God. God had to show you this year, your job doesn't make you. You make the job. But the job you go into next, it ain't about checking in on the clock. But God said, where I send you next will be the place that I prepared for you. While you were still in your mother's womb, it ain't an issue about finding another job. Been there, done that. In this season of your life, God plant me somewhere that the gift you put in me might be able to be used and executed and moved to a greater level. The wealthiest 1% has seen in the last 7 years their income go up by 250%. And it is the millionaires who don't want to pay. God, help me in here. The typical CEO of the Fortune 500 companies, ladies and gentlemen, make 110 times more than its workers. We have seen something, ladies and gentlemen, in our own lifetime, even as citizens of America, that we bear witness that they are no longer wealthy nations. They are now just wealthy individuals. But everything that they put in plan to suppress the growth and the develop of the poor has failed. Because God told me to announce to the body of Christ, and some of you are not going to be able to rejoice, but God said this is the season for the poor, God. That this is the season for those who have struggled. Because God says, I have promised too much to you to see you flounder while other people who don't know my name will not give me glory. This is a season where God is getting ready to elevate those who have been left behind. I can't hear anybody. Those who have been lost. Those who have been forgotten about. And I need you to understand, your season of increase is not for personal achievement. But God says, I gotta bless you so you can do something for somebody else. He said, I don't need any more wealthy people who are self-absorbed and selfish. But I need some people that have a mind to build communities and to build schools and to build children. And when you are on my kingdom agenda, that's when I can bless the poor. I stand before you today, ladies and gentlemen, as the grandson of Pauline Lucas Williams, who raised 10 children in a two-bedroom project on 245 North Broadway in Yonkers, New York. But can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, with a grandmother raising 10 children in a two-bedroom apartment, not one of them spent a night in jail. Not one of them had to go to rehab. Not one of them found themselves 6 feet under from a bullet wound. But you want to know, how did she raise those children without ever giving them Air Jordans? How did she ever raise them children without giving them a flat screen of them ever getting an iPad? Because my grandmother knew early in the morning, will I seek here, that even though the enemy comes like a flood, God is raising a standard. You better tell your children, it ain't about what we can buy, it's about what it is we have. And when we have God in our lives, we can make it. Be seated right where you are. Because I can tell y'all grew up in the suburbs and y'all grew up all the way doing well. But I'm talking to those of you who just had a flashback over your own life and you didn't have half the stuff you got now. But guess what? When you didn't have all this stuff, you were happier. But you ought to be thanking God right now. Lord, you didn't bless me for me. You blessed me to be a blessing to somebody else. Caesar, in Luke chapter 2, said, everyone, hear me, in the world has got to pay. Can I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, stop judging people. Because everybody on your roll, even if they don't look like it, is being taxed. God, I can't find nobody in here. My pain may not be your pain, but everybody is dealing with something that had the potential to break them. Says everybody in the whole world has got to pay this tax. You got to go through something. You have to live through a level of opposition. You at some point have got to deal with adversarial forces. If you are living a life where you're tiptoeing through the tulips and not dealing with any drama, any calamity, you really are not destined to do anything. God help me. But when you are able to walk through hell and high water and still keep your head up and able to say, I didn't want to go through it, but now that I've been through it, I thank you, God, because it made me a stronger person than I would have been had life been easier for me. Says the whole world has got to be taxed. And I'm in Luke 2, verse number 3. It says something, ladies and gentlemen, many of you are not going to be able to palate or digest. It says, in order for you to deal with opposition, deal with your taxation, to deal with a level of stress, this isn't me, this is what the Bible says, Luke 2, verse number 3, you don't know what it means to be taxed, here it is, until you go home. Oh my God. See, some of you have been insulated, watch this, because you try to detach yourself from family. Oh my God. But you really don't know what stress is until you under attack by people who got your last name, people who raised you, people who you grew up with, and you don't understand why they got an attitude because God has elevated you, why you got to explain what God has done in your life. God said, I need you to go home to deal with the tax. And please, for many of us, Christmas is not a Norman Rockwell portrait. For many of us, Christmas is a stressful time. Because, Rev, you don't know my family. I had to get prayed up before I went over to that house. Because I don't know what I'm going to be met with. I don't know who's going to be drunk this year. I don't know who's going to have a fight. I don't know who ain't speaking to who. But God said, you don't even know I put you in the family as the undercover agent. You ain't even got to say nothing. All I need is your presence. And your spirit is going to shift the atmosphere in the room because I put too much glory on you to even allow people in your family to break your spirit. So Joseph, ladies and gentlemen, has got to be taxed, but I want you to watch what Joseph does. He does something peculiar that warrants our attention today in verse number 4, Luke chapter 2. He's being taxed. Watch this. Verse number 4, clause A. And he went up. All right. Watch it. You're getting ready to miss it. He's being taxed. Verse number 4. And he went up. All right, I lost you. What the oppressor put on him. It was the intention to make him go down. God, I can't hear nobody, but it was the taxation that made him rise to another level. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't even know that 2011, everything the enemy unleashed in the atmosphere was diabolically designed in order to break your spirit. But if you can hear my voice, God told me to tell you, you on the express elevator. You getting ready to go higher than you ever been in your life because there's something he's put on you.
Says he went up. Watch this. He went up from Nazareth. Nazareth, ladies and gentlemen, translates in the Greek to mean a branch or a limb. He's being taxed while he's out on a limb. Okay. And Nazareth, watch this, is in Galilee. Galilee means circle. All right, stay with me. Joseph, because of the taxation, is in a cycle. It's the same thing. It's the same routine. It's the same kind of people. It's the same issues. It's the same bill. It's the same time of year. Here he is, out on a limb in a cycle. Oh my God, but I don't know what Caesar was thinking when he told Joseph where he had to go pay the tax. He had to go pay the tax. Watch this, I'm still in verse number 4, in Judea. Mm-hmm. Now Judea, ladies and gentlemen, is the derivative of Judah. Mm. All right, I think I lost you. Let me come back and get you. He's in Nazareth, that is out on a limb. That is in Galilee, that's in a cycle. But in order for him to get out of it, he's got to go to Judea. God help me, Judea. Watch this, is praise. Y'all are getting ready to miss me in Palmer Temple. God said, when you praise me, I'm breaking the cycle. When you give me glory, I'm getting you out of the same routine. When you worship me, I'm taking you off that limb. When you open up your mouth, I'm escorting you to another place.
Okay. Says, I'm taking you off the limb, out of the cycle. Oh my God. Into Judea, which is praise. Watch this. Where is Judea? In Bethlehem, the house of bread. Okay, y'all just missed it. I'm trying to bring it all together. God said, when you praise me, your season of struggle is coming to an end. And I'm getting ready to put you in a place of bread. God help me. I'm getting ready to put you in a place where your needs are met. I'm getting ready to surround you with the strength it's going to take in order for you to survive. Would you look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it looks like you're going to be in the same cycle because you stuck in Nazareth. But if you want to break the cycle, come with me into Judah. Because when I give God glory, generational curses are getting ready to be broken. When I give God the praise, everything my child been going through is about to shift. When I glorify his name, whatever diseases are in my family are getting ready to be healed, because the cycle.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Woo. Hallelujah. Be seated. Please be seated right where you are. All right. I'm in Luke 2, verse number 5, and I'll send you home. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, that I have with the text is in verse number 5, and everything I've said to you up to this moment was to set you up just for this one point.
wish I had a better sermon. Come back, watch night. But Joseph, ladies and gentlemen, had to come out of Nazareth because he was out on a limb. Out of Galilee because he was in a vicious cycle. He had to step into Judah, which is praise, in order to disconnect from the cycle. He then goes into Bethlehem because he doesn't know his needs are getting ready to get met. And verse number 5, ladies and gentlemen, is really what amazed me, and I couldn't find any theologian to really back me up or really support what my argument was. So I'm out on a limb by myself. Joe had to go pay the tax, and I understand that. He had to go pay the tax. But Reverend Cecilia, here's where my problem rests. Is he goes, watch this, and takes Mary with him. All right? And he had to register her, which translates to mean, watch this, he had to pay for her. I think I lost you. Reverend Lemons, what I'm trying to say, watch this, is he paid the tax for Mary, watch this, when she wasn't his yet. This is not his wife. They are just engaged. You get ready to miss it, ladies and gentlemen. So Joe, watch this. Joe is paying the price, hear me, of expectation. God, help me. Oh my God. He was paying for what he expected to receive. God, help me. Some of you just missed the whole point of this sermon. God told me to tell you what you've been going through this year. Watch this. The tax, the stress, the attack that you've been under is not over what you currently possess. God, help me. The attack that's been on your life is because the devil knows what's been promised to you. God, help me in here. And I know some of y'all can't shout because ain't nothing been promised to you. But if you know there's some things that are getting ready to come my way in 2012, and you don't know you already paid for it in 2011 because the price has already... Okay, be seated, please. You are, in no uncertain terms, ladies and gentlemen, what you are dealing with right now has nothing to do with your present circumstance. You don't have that much. You are paying the price of your potential. God, help me in here. Because of what it is that you're carrying, the price just went up. And there's some people in your circle who have not had to go through what you've had to endure because they're not connected to the level of greatness that you are connected to. But God says, I'm so thankful. Watch this, ladies and gentlemen. Mary never paid the tax, and she's the one carrying it. God, help me. Hallelujah. But she got connected to somebody who would pay the price for her. God, I can't find nobody in here. There's nothing in the text where Mary ever says a word. But because Joe knows the value of who Mary is and what's inside of her, he said, I'm going to pay the price on your behalf. Ladies and gentlemen, don't have nobody who claims that they love you just give you a gift certificate and some perfume. If they're not willing to pay the price of walking with you in the most difficult season of your life, when it feels like you're getting ready to drop and lose everything you got, look at the person beside you. Tell them, I know it's been a rough year. You need a tax break. You've been carrying all of this by yourself. But I'm here to let you know you're in the last trimester. That if you just sit next to me, when I give God the praise, I'm not praising God for what you got right now. But I'm getting ready to praise you. For what you're carrying, because there's something inside of you that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard. Look at your neighbor. I got to go. Would you look at your neighbor? Say, neighbor, what you
that it's just labor. You just feel the weight of what you carry. But when I give God this level of praise, whatever your dream, whatever your vision, whatever your assignment, whatever your goal, whatever your task, whatever your book, whatever your business, whatever your degree, it's getting ready to come out of you. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, this next shot is not for me. It's not for my kids. But I'm shouting for what's in you. I'm shouting for your assignment. I'm shouting for your gift. I'm shouting for your vision.
Be seated. Be seated, please. Be seated, please. The person who just gave God glory did so on behalf of your pain. They did so, watch this, being cognizant of your journey.